We'll begin the regular meeting of the Communications and Technology Committee, February 3rd. Item one is the call to order. We just did that, I guess. Item two, consider finding that a result of the COVID-19 emergency meeting in person would present imminent risks to health or safety of attendees. And the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to Government Code 54953. Linda, I believe you have to concur with that.
I do.
That's good to hear.
Thank you very much.
Item three, comments from the public. Do you have anything, Amelia?
No hands raised, no chats.
Okay, moving right along. Item four, scroll up a bit, or actually go right, you might as well just go right to the page. There you go.
It's a great addition for the website and Facebook, because I couldn't get it till yesterday. We are looking pretty average as far as our number of hits. Our main page was the number one page, employment opportunities. So as always, the top 10 hits.
The one that I thought was still kind of interesting is we do have 137 visits on development projects. That seems to still be fairly popular with folks.
And, you know, I got, and I don't answer the phone very much, I just get rollovers, but I had two phone calls last week, folks inquiring about Riverview. Were the homes ready? How many did they, development questions that I, of course, sent over to Rainin and Bartis and directed the people to their webpage and told them to reach out to the developer. We don't know. So.
Oh, okay. So you had an opportunity to actually sell a house then.
I did. And the commission was awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, they do have green grass over there, so the lawns are already in place. Just the house is missing. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's not what they're looking at, is Riverview. Folks want to buy houses.
I would think that they will if they get the models built. You know, I think that's going to prove to be the case. I think it's just set up perfectly for, I think the demographic is there. I think there's a lot of stuff going for that. I thought maybe somebody would be calling about the giant pile of trees on Murrieta Parkway, but maybe we plan to keep those there forever. Okay.
It hasn't rang through to my phone yet.
That's the routine. Yeah. John?
Yes.
Do we know that Rainin and Bartis is just on hold because of the winter weather? They're not planning on doing anything?
I believe so. I'm not officially sure, but yeah, I think that's probably the case. I would think that. Go ahead, Tom.
Linda, this is Tom. Oh. Yeah, that is the case. They can't get their equipment into the soggy ground.
Right.
So they're kind of on hold.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
If it doesn't rain soon, they won't be on hold for much longer, I suspect.
This is Mike. They are doing some work, some minor work with retaining walls.
Oh, okay.
That's about it.
Weren't they doing infrastructure too? Weren't they doing something hooking up fire hydrants and stuff? Was that?
Yeah, that was a little while ago.
Okay.
So they're doing what they can, basically.
Yeah.
Trees are still doing the infrastructure work.
Say that again.
I said the retreats are still doing infrastructure work.
There's trucks out there every day. They're working.
Yeah, they're installing new water line and storm drain.
Okay.
But the north part of the retreats is on hold till better weather.
Yeah.
Okay. Based on the issue they had with sediment coming off the site.
Right. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. So what else do we need to do to review this, Amelia? You got any other?
Go on to the next page, which is our friends and where they were at when they lifted us. We're all in America except for not set. So.
Okay.
These always leave more questions than answers, don't they? But we were down by about 1,000 hits users last month from on this page. Last month we were at 2,500.
Yeah.
1500, but really it just kind of goes with nothing really happened. I mean, you know, we didn't have anything
there's a lot of good reasons that people might not visit as well as bad reasons.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. Why is there, you know, why is there water rushing down my street or something?
exactly. So it's probably a good thing that we didn't get so many. It just means we were
the age and gender thing, you know, and I have no really quantitative analysis to put forward here, but I notice basically, I don't know how much of a trend overall it is, but when you look generally at Murrieta websites, you get an idea that the female to male ratio of who's using these sites is about what we're looking at here. If you get on one of the community sites and you get a large string of likes, for example, and you go survey those to see who the names are, it generally looks somewhat like this, that it's more heavily used by a female population than a male population. And so
last month we were men 29.5, women 70.5 for 230 hits in Rancho Murrieta, 11 in Sacramento. You know, so it's almost the same people, 8 in Wilton, 5 in Slough House. And this,
right?
So this could be almost a carbon copy of last month for the
right.
And this information is on the internet for those of you who would like to look at it. I do have one hand raised. Are you ready for questions?
Sure, go ahead.
Richard Gears.
Yes, several things. What did you just say? What is on the website?
Go ahead, Amelia.
Those pages that we just went over, I added them
yesterday
afternoon because I can't get the data in.
I see. This last page of the audience and age, is that strictly Facebook?
That's just our Facebook. Next month I'll add a header on that.
Okay. The other question is, for about 3 months, I haven't been able to access Facebook. I sent you an email about that I think it has something to do with the fact that I don't have a Facebook account, and I can get the initial page, but if I try to scroll off it, it says, not logged in, please log in to see this page. And I can't see the Facebook page. And maybe I'm the only person in the world that doesn't have a Facebook account, but seems like that's something that should be addressed. I mean, personally, I don't have too much use for the Facebook page, but I do look at it once in a while. But I mean, basically, I can't look at it. So,
So everything that is on Facebook is on our website. And there's probably, I probably put 2 to 3 things on the website that I don't put on Facebook. I just put those, like Coffee with a Cop was the last thing I put out on Facebook.
Okay.
Right. But that's on our website too. So you're not missing anything, Richard.
Well, I didn't think so, but do you have any understanding why I can't get on there?
Nope.
Am I the only person in the world that doesn't have a Facebook account?
You're the only person that's told me that they can't get on Facebook, and I really don't understand the inner workings of Facebook. Maybe somebody else knows it.
Yeah,
better.
So hi, this is Paula. If I could speak on the Facebook thing. So you do have to have a Facebook login in order to access social media. Facebook does allow you to view certain things, but not everything if you don't have an account. And so you know, for example, my husband doesn't have a Facebook account, and I'm constantly sending him things that are open to the public, viewable from other pages, and he cannot log in and see them because he doesn't have a login to view those. So if you do want to see what's on the Facebook page, you will need to create a social media account, and you can keep it inactive. You don't have to participate in it, but if you do want to view the Facebook social media information, that's exactly what you're going to have to do, is create a Facebook account.
Well, it didn't used to be that way. I used to be able to, you know, go to the Facebook page and look at whatever's on there. But about 3 months ago, it changed. And when I try to scroll off the page, like it says, you have to be logged in.
Facebook changes their algorithms and their policies probably every 3 months or so. There's a lot of updates that are constantly being pushed out through all social media applications. Instagram is the same, Snapchat, TikTok. They're all kind of on the same updates. And so they're constantly updating their social media policies. And that's probably why you're not all of a sudden able to see it.
Okay. Okay. I mean, personally, if I was at CSD, I would say, hey, I want people to be able to access my page, so I'm going to fix it so that they can. But like I say, I don't have much need to access that Facebook page, so you can do what you want.
I'm thinking maybe we ought to move over to TikTok.
TikTok is fun.
We could put it to music. Okay. I don't like Amelia said, I don't know that we can do much more than we're doing. It kind of is what it is. This one looks like fun. Review district computer password policy.
That is me. So I've been working with the Week Ahead and Cherie with our cybersecurity company that we work with. And one of the things that we need to do is create a new district password policy. So really the goal of this is to ensure that with all of the hacking that's been going on and a lot of agencies, both large and small, have had their systems hacked and hijacked and completely obliterated by different types of malware and spyware. We want to make sure that we are following a very tight password policy to ensure that these poorly chosen passwords won't put our entire network at risk. And so the tighter the password policy, the hope is that the staff will change their passwords regularly, create passwords that are not as easy to hack, and that we have specific roadmap of what to do with remote access, when we create a password, how we change the passwords, the password protection standards, and so on. And so really, this is just the first step of taking this to the board for approval to adopt this policy to ensure that we take all steps, all precautions necessary to ensure that our passwords don't allow us to be hacked and have our systems in jeopardy.
Paula, I'm looking through the guidelines. Is 8 characters now still the standard? I mean, they're... 1 password and all that stuff, and a lot of websites are insisting that you go to a multiple that's like 3 times of that, and that you're using upper and lower case, and you're using symbols other than numbers and letters. First of all, is what's here enough? And secondly, do we have, without knowing what the password is, does our tech support have any way to review the characteristics of a password to make sure that they are in fact being set up in a way that's corresponds with this standard?
Yes, they actually do. So to speak to the minimum length of 8, that is just a minimum there. It does depend on the system. So this is really mostly for those systems that don't require a minimum character. This will give us the ability to create a lengthier password that would be less hackable. the IT, Alipa Head does have the ability to view all of our current passwords. They have a list of those. And part of the reason why we want to push this forward is we have a lot of different platforms here and they don't require changes. And so a lot of these passwords that staff and previous staff were using was, you know, capital P with the word password. And you know, a lot of that has changed moving forward in the last few months. We've gotten away from those, that standard password. And we want to make sure that staff are continually updating those. So this template here that we have was given to us by Cherie and from cybersecurity. And this is kind of the basic minimum guidelines for password construction. Now, obviously different systems will have different requirements. Different websites will have different requirements, but this is really specifically for, at minimum, this is what the district requires of our password construction.
Okay, so for example, I mean, how many different places as an organization are we going that requires password entry? I know we have Great Plains. We have whatever is based around Office 365 and Outlook and all that other stuff. How many different places are we operating out of that require specific passwords?
So me personally, I could tell you with all of my HR stuff, I have at least 20 different websites. You know, we have bank accounts, we have credit card accounts, we have CalPERS logins, we have all of our benefits administration. Each website has its own password associated with entry and access to the system and the information. And you know, our existing systems that we use for just for processing financials, we have Great Plains, UtilityStar, Estiva, and Paychex. And those four do not have specific requirements to log in. So, wow. Right. So this is, so, and this was part of where the password came into play, is that when new users were set up in one particular platform, they would set them up and then there's no way for them to go in and change it. The admin has to go in and change the password for them. So if the password is being set up as something basic that any hacker could just hack into, we want to ensure with those types of systems, with those particular four that we're dealing with right now, that we get a little tighter with our conditions of password construction so that we don't run into any issues.
So would it make sense as part of this 2.0 in the policy, for example, if you have 20, should it be a requirement that none of the 20 are the same? I mean, what, you know, it seems to me that, and you would obviously be the most critical link in this and the folks that are working with you because you have access to all this financially sensitive data.
Right.
Does it make sense to at least try to enforce a policy that nobody's, so that if they somehow get somebody's password, that now they don't have carte blanche towards everything we do financially?
I think, you know, with the bank accounts, I think those passwords are set up. Those are the ones that have the forced reset. So those are anywhere from 30 days, 45 days to 90 days of forced password resets. The bank accounts specifically aren't the ones that we're really concerned with. It's all of the other accounts that we are, the other platforms that we have, like Great Plains, which does house our checking account information, you know, or UtilityStar that has residential information. We want to ensure that we're changing our passwords regularly to prevent any of this. So, you know, we can change it to not be identical to the previous 10 passwords. We can change that to 20 as well. And I like your idea of using the special characters and things of that. The only thing that we would run across is that some websites may not allow special characters.
That's correct. Yeah, I've run into that myself. Yeah.
So, I mean, we can certainly add that in there just so that it's not somebody putting, you know, happy birthday to me, and something generic that they can remember. You know, we're also piloting, Tom and I are also piloting something called LastPass, which is a password manager.
Right.
And that also assists with that forced password reset as well.
Yeah, I use 1Password, and that's particularly where I run into websites that won't support what we were just talking about. For example, using an exclamation point, because 1Password will randomly assign and then bank it for you, so that you don't have to worry about remembering the password.
Right.
And you know that you can it'll even tell you that you've had this password for X amount of days, you know, and if you want to change it, it's almost an instantaneous response. It's really, you know, no brainer once you learn how to use the system. So yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, going past this policy to maybe implement something where, you know, we put in that kind of system and then train everybody how to use it.
Yes.
Takes a little bit of time to get, it's a little clumsy in the beginning, but once you understand it, it's really easy to operate.
Yeah. And I think that's going to help us enforce this policy as well. You know, there's some things that we, Leap Ahead is not able to create a forced password environment. And so using the LastPass or any type of password manager application, creates that forced password. So it identifies these that have been used for longer than a certain amount of time. And we can set that up so that at, you know, the 15-day mark before expiration, we start getting those notifications that you need to change your password. So.
Right. Well, yeah, this is good. I mean, I think this is probably long overdue. And the only thing I was kind of chuckling to myself is we probably should give everyone the password to Great Plains. And then if they can get in there and actually operate it, maybe we should hire them. But yeah, I think this is good. And if you want to bring this to the board, as long as Linda concurs, I see no problem with that.
Okay.
Absolutely. I do have one question. Is there, I always wish that I had this, somebody in the great world of passwords in the sky. Is there any one central place where these passwords get kept, or that you know them, and not you personally, but the person who's using them knows them and nobody else does, and that's it?
Well, I couldn't speak to that. I know what was done in, you know, past practice to ensure that we had updated passwords, and that's certainly not ideal. Right now, Leap Ahead has access to all of our login information and for all of the employees, and so they're able to tell who's been changing them, who's not, who has the easy passwords that are going to be hackable. Now, one of the things that this policy should cover is if an employee has their notepad sitting on their desk with all of their passwords written down on it, you know, that's something that we want to move away from, because even having internal staff log in as another employee is a huge concern as well. Right. So there's really no way for us to know who has readily available passwords at their workspaces, but Leap Ahead does have a list of all of our users, all of our logins, and all of the passwords as well.
Thank you, Paul.
There may be, you know, just in passing too, and you guys have done this where you've worked previously. I mean, there may be something that larger organizations are using. I mean, I use 1Password on an individual basis, but I mean, you know, and I could even ask my daughter. I mean, there's got to be some central control where if, you know, if everybody's inside a corporate 1Password environment, maybe not that one, but somewhere else, that number one, it gives the tech people access when they need it. But number two, you know, everybody else is kind of locked out from each other, so none of that stuff can be passed around.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the direction we're heading. Yes.
Yeah. Good. Good. Okay. Any more on this? Great idea. I think
I do have a hand raised if you're ready for a comment.
Sure. Go ahead.
Richard Gears, go ahead.
Hi. I assume directors have passwords to something or other, but I could be wrong. But I look in this policy. There's only one place where I could see it. It possibly applies to directors. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know whether this policy is supposed to apply to directors or not.
The policy only applies to the employees. The directors do not have access to any of our applications.
So they don't have sign in and password to anything at CSD other, you know, any different from me as a resident?
The only thing that they would sign in, they do have email addresses through Office 365, and Office 365 has, we're implementing the forced password change. But again, that would be just email.
Okay. Just one comment. I am really surprised that somebody has a copy of your passwords out there. That, you know, that's kind of 1980s technology that, you know.
Well, there's the issue, Richard, of
this space. You done this.
Is he cutting out or am I cutting out?
No, I think he's cutting out.
I'm still here. Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I was saying that, you know, that there has to be, from a tech support standpoint, there has to, you know, ultimately inside the organization, there's got to be with somebody with access that can move across the system to fix stuff. I mean, there's, you know, ultimately, I mean, you can't have 20 users with individual responsibilities and get somebody who can work their way through the system that doesn't have access. I mean, it becomes a matter of, you know, trust and bonding and everything else if you want to go there. But
what I'm talking about.
John, this is Tom. I want to chime in for just a second. Our tech support, they don't actually have our passwords. They have the ability to change our passwords. So there's not a list of passwords out there that they can just log in and see everybody's password. But they do have administrative rights to all of our systems that allow them to go then and change our passwords. So I want, Paul, if I'm incorrect, let me know. But as far as I know, from my experience, that there's, our passwords aren't published. They're just there, and our tech support can change them. So if we forget them.
No, you're absolutely correct, Tom. And the intent is, you know, with all information technology management, they do have the admin access to all of our applications, our network, all of our electrical e-file applications. And so that's really, for them, strictly confidential access to our systems to allow us to have somebody work on our systems, and they can see the information that we're working on. So it's not a physical list. It is an access right that they have and the capability to see our passwords.
Thank you.
Okay. That's sort of what I'm expecting, but I would doubt that they can actually see your passwords. You know, what's stored is an encrypted version of the password, and nobody knows what anybody's password is except the person who created it. I mean, if it's not that done that way, it's a very big security flaw in the system. But
yeah, and I think we've answered that question.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
All right, great.
Anything else here on this item?
I don't have any more comments or hands raised.
All right, so you'll put that in the minutes that we recommended that we move this to the board.
Oh yes, absolutely. We'll have it on the agenda next week after next.
Okay, go ahead and move me back to the agenda again. Update on, let's see, this reservoir information and education ad hoc committee. This must be Linda.
It is Linda. Thank you, John. We're having our second meeting right after this meeting, and I've spent some time collecting a lot of information. basically, we've changed our outline to be a little bit more or less complicated, and I've found a bunch of information about the history of Rancho Murrieta and the reservoirs. It's very fun to look all this stuff up, but in the end, what we're aiming for is signage, and I've had some suggestions from a variety of people of how we can do the signs, and when we I've also called some sign companies, and it's going to be more of an educational situation. We're sharing things with our residents and their guests. So we're getting there. This is we've come a little farther than we have in the past. So I'm pretty excited about this. We were going to do a presentation in March, but March is a big month for our budget stuff, and so we're going to wait until April. Excuse me. And then we'll have a presentation for the board.
Okay. Anything further here? Any questions, comments, Amelia?
No questions, no comments.
Moving on to item 7, website and frequently asked questions.
The website has been rolling along as we saw in a previous agenda item. For the frequently asked questions this month, we just went over the reservoir levels. Calero being 78%, Chesbro being 90%, Clemente being 100% full. And I'll continue to update that every month until we're full.
Okay. Item 8, Linda, any comments, suggestions?
No, I'm just going back to facts for a second. Each month we try to figure out, if we don't have any specific questions, we try to figure out what people in the community are asking. And so Amelia and I work on that together and come up with the questions, et cetera. So if anybody has questions that they want us to address, please let us know.
Any of the staff, Tom, you have anything?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Paula?
No, I'm good. Thank you, John.
Okay, Amelia, any more? Anything else?
No, there's nothing else.
Okay, that being said, we can move on to adjournment. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.